In letters to the paper this week, there's an emphasis on the environment and its interaction with the current elections. We have 6 letters this week. Simon Tiller, the campaigns and policy manager for Norfolk Wildlife Trust, says nature matters in this month's election, and he writes, "As Norfolk gets ready to vote in the county council's election on the 7th of May, many residents will be looking at what politicians are committing to do for nature and wildlife. At Norfolk Wildlife Trust, we know how proud we are of our Norfolk's nature, from our rivers and chalk streams to parks, woods, meadows, wetlands and famous landscapes like the Brecks, the Broads and our stunning coastline. Our nature and wildlife attract millions of visitors to Norfolk each year and are vitally important for both our health and prosperity. Our United for Nature manifesto is supported by organisations with over 200,000 members across Norfolk and Suffolk, and we're calling on all candidates to pledge to protect and restore nature if they're elected. You can find out more and ask your local candidates to take the pledge here, norfolkwildlifetrust.org.uk/United for Nature.
Paul Milner of Sheringham debates fossil fuel dependency. The main issue concerning our dependence on fossil fuels is not so much if as when. The fossil fuel industry employs 32 million worldwide, and it's not only diesel and petrol. There are over 6,000 essential items made from petroleum. Byproducts including fertilisers, flooring and floor covering, perfume, insecticide, petroleum jelly, soap, vitamins, essential amino acids and plastics. Turning us off oil just like that, as Miliband wants to do before alternatives are fully developed, is crazy. For example, the new £38 billion Sizewell C nuclear power plant is a 12-year project, and needless to say, wind and solar only work when the weather is right. Electric car batteries are very difficult to recycle and contain highly toxic materials like lithium, cobalt, nickel, manganese and graphite. So for those who want to go green now, best you accept the reality of the situation. The world is going green, but not in a political abracadabra sort of way. That only happens in the mind of green politicians chasing your vote. Alternative sources of energy and workable substitutes for the 6,000 items currently made from petroleum byproducts need to be developed in line.
Regular writer Steve McKinder of Denver complains in particular about the Conservatives in relation to what he sees as rural infrastructure struggles. West Norfolk MP James Wilde has waded into the energy crisis to press for more help for rural households struggling with the ludicrous price of heating oil, thanks to Trump's megalomaniac desire to assert himself. Here in West Norfolk, as in much of rural Norfolk as always, we find ourselves tagging along behind the rest of the UK as utilities fail to invest in what is clearly an unprofitable backwater for them. 20,000 households in Mr. Wilde's constituency alone are off the mains gas grid, and you can bet all those same households will also have a rubbish phone signal and probably a pathetically weak internet connection too. Too many of us out here in the sticks are disregarded by big business, and while I applaud James's efforts to get help for his constituents, it has to be said his Tory party had 14 years to get our rural infrastructure planned and financed, but in my opinion, didn't, because of their decision to invest in infrastructure to buy votes in historically safe seat areas, namely the Red Wall, Labour's strongholds up north. We suffer now because of these cynical decisions based on the assumption we'd be daft enough to eternally vote Conservative. Big mistake.
Pigeon nuisance at Norwich Market remains in the news, and Mike Howman of Norwich has a suggestion. The recent discussions regarding pigeon and seagull nuisance in and around Norwich Marketplace indicates mixed feelings on how to alleviate or at least lessen the problem. So far, measures include scaring them off with a tame bird of prey, although they return as soon as it leaves, and dissuading the public from hand-feeding them, even threatening fines for those doing so. A cull is out of favour, although I'm not sure if these birds are a protected species or even deserve to be, as the increasing numbers bear this out. Talk of contraception by deliberately lacing their food with chemicals seems absurd. Perhaps, although probably too late this year, at the next nesting season, if the law permits, the authorities could raid the thousands of nest sites on buildings scattered in and around Norwich and remove some or all of the eggs. This could continue annually until the numbers are under control.
The hyacinth is promoted by Ian MacDonald of Billericay. As bluebells start to fade away for another year, gardeners can now give their attention to another springtime flower, the hyacinth. Anyone who forgot to plant their bulbs last autumn can still pick up a small tub of hyacinths from the local supermarket to display indoors. They belong to the asparagus family and originally grew like tulips in the Middle East before becoming popular in Holland in the 1500s and extremely expensive luxuries in the 1700s. One of their attractions is undoubtedly their wide range of colours. Blue and pink are probably the most common varieties, but purple, yellow, white and red are other favourites. They all have names like blue jacket and pink pearl, and because of their strong fragrance, they're often used in the perfume industry. But the flowers are edible, and chefs like to add their petals to salads and desserts. They can be seen in the work of Vincent van Gogh, who even painted a basket of sprouting hyacinth bulbs.
Graham Ford of Caister St Edmund asks, where are the English strawberries? What's happening? 3 weeks ago, I went to my local large supermarket to do our weekly shopping and found they had English strawberries grown in Hampshire and Norfolk, both reasonably priced. I hope the growers were getting a fair price, so I bought some from the Norfolk grower and also bought for a friend. The same happened the following week, so I did the same. Last week, I went as usual, ready to do the same, but lo and behold, not an English strawberry on the shelf. What were there were from Spain and more expensive as well. So what's happening? Now, I hold nothing against Spain, but I would have thought with all the lovely weather we've been having, English strawberries would be readily available, and surely the supermarket buyers should think about supporting English growers, as many of the workers who produce the strawberries quite possibly use the said supermarket by spending their hard-earned wages there, probably all year round. So come on, supermarket buyers, support your local producers more, please. This is also the transportation from the producer to the supermarket. But that's another issue.